Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links, please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
So this morning, we're going to continue in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we are going to begin in the 4th verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and I'm going to read this for us. Peter says, "As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.'" Verse 7. "So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone of the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so Peter uses a beautiful illustration here that shows us the ancient architecture and masonry of this time period. And so the idea is that Jesus is the foundation stone. He is the cornerstone. And so, simply put, the cornerstone is the single most important stone in ancient architecture. And so if this stone is true, if the dimensions are correct, the entire building will be true and straight, and will be it will be strong. But if this stone, for instance, is off, if it is weak, if it is not perfect, if it has defects, the entire building will not have integrity. And so this really helps us to understand the worth of Jesus Christ as our foundation and as the beginning and the head of the church. And so I want us to begin here at verse 4. "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious." I want you to see that Jesus is described here as a living stone. And so God's intention is not to have a building in which to dwell. The living God, the creator of all things, he does not live in stone buildings, but God's intention, the fulfillment, is to have a living church, to have people, the foundation of which is Christ, and the Lord wants to dwell in the midst of his people. And we have such amazing images in the Old Testament of the Shekinah glory, of the Lord coming and rending the heavens and manifesting his glory in the temple. This is where the Lord wants to reveal his glory. This is where he wants to work. This is where his presence abides, in the midst of his people. This is a beautiful and helpful image, and what an honor it is to be like Christ. He goes on to say, "You yourselves are living stones." And so just as Jesus was chosen, just as he was precious, so each individual, each member of the body of Christ is chosen and precious. And what an honor it is to be one of the stones in the Lord's holy temple. I want you to also notice this extremely important point, that Jesus was rejected by men. In some ways, the sense is universal. Jesus is rejected by men, period. All men rejected the Holy One of Israel, the Christ. And we see in Scripture, if the Lord had not left a remnant, no one would be saved. This is the feeling of some of the holy ones of God throughout Scripture, including Elijah. He has these feelings that he is the last one left. And sometimes if we walk with Jesus, if we follow him, we feel this rejection by the world. And surely Jesus experienced this rejection from men. And it's those that are most Christ-like who have the privilege of understanding this rejection. False prophets are received by men. They have the best places of honor. They get the praises of the people. But it is those who are led by the Spirit of Jesus Christ who drink this cup of rejection. Stephen in Acts says these words to describe the Jews as a whole. He says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did so to you." And so we have this picture of God's creation always rejecting the Holy Spirit. Man is wicked by nature, and he is a creature of darkness, and he has enmity towards the holy God of light. Dear Christian, I want you to take encouragement in the following, that if we are rejected by men, it is a sure sign that we are accepted by God. Jesus was accepted by God, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. What a twisted thing it is to give preference to the praises of men over the praises of God. I believe John characterizes the pattern of Jesus' life and this desire to please God over pleasing men. John 8:29, notice these words. "And he who sent me," this is Jesus speaking, "is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do those things that are pleasing to him." What a big text this is. And it is implied that if you live your life to please God always, at the same time, you can't please both God and men. And so this lifestyle of desiring to please the Lord, of being God's chosen cornerstone that is pleasing to him, put a strain in his family life. We see this in the Gospels. It put a strain between him and his religion. And ultimately, the end of this life led to crucifixion by men. And so Jesus may have lost the honor of men, but this is what we are to focus on. What sweet communion Jesus had from the Lord. And so we likewise have a choice. We are called to choose this day. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to make it our lifestyle to please God, or are we going to make it our lifestyle to please men? You can't have it both ways. You can't ride the fence. You can't claim to love God and love the world at the same time. And so our goal at this congregation should not so much primarily be about pleasing people, pleasing the world, that is, but rather, first and foremost, we should be all about how do we please the living God in all that we do. This is what Jesus was about, and this is the same choice that we should take. Some would like to please men and God at the same time. I believe this is one of the biggest problems in the church today. There is too much attention given towards pleasing men. There are too many people pleasers out there, too many man pleasers in the leadership of the church. This is the model that they have for church enlargement. If we just please the people, if we put preferment on what they desire over and above what the scripture says, then we can enlarge our bodies of worship. They exalt and lift up men. But I want you to see, in doing this, the Lord is grieved, and he steps back and he withdraws his blessing. He will not allow men to be put in his place. Look now at verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Jesus is chosen and precious. We too have this high honor of being chosen by Christ. If we choose to obey his word, if we choose to be patterned after this precious cornerstone. Peter continues in verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. There's so many things that we could address here in this text, but I want to draw your attention to the beginning of this Old Testament passage, which Peter cites here. These words, behold, I. This is Yahweh the Lord. This is God Almighty. And notice who is doing the activity here. I am the one who am laying this foundation. And this is perhaps one of the most comforting thoughts to consider, that God Almighty has laid the foundation of his church, and his name is Jesus Christ. God has laid the foundation of the Main Street Church of Christ, of which we are living stones. And just like the seed that was sown, which represents the word of God, which is eternal, so the church is eternal. And no wind from the devil can buffet this holy temple. No earthquake, no attack from the powers of hell can so much as thwart this eternal body of Christ, the church of Christ, which is this living house. And so look at what Paul says to give further illustration to this passage, 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only through fire. And so Paul reiterates this idea that there is only one cornerstone. There is only one foundation stone, and his name is Jesus Christ. And this is something which is sweet to our ears. This is something worthy of our thought and our meditation. This is food for our souls to rest in this great thought that there is one chief cornerstone. He is the representation. He is the pattern. To the degree that we are successful will be dependent upon our ability to build off of this stone, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, to imitate him. This is what the Bible talks about. We are to imitate Jesus Christ. We are chosen stones, and we are to be shaped by God Almighty. We are to represent him, and we are to, as Jesus says, we are to follow him. And not only is the sense that we are to go where the Lord leads, if he calls us to be a missionary in another country, but we are to follow him in the sense that we are to obey his word. And therefore, we might rightly be confident that we are building upon this eternal, sure foundation that cannot be moved regardless of what evil comes our way. And so, as we continue in verse 7, so the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. I want you to see what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And so we've made a transition. Peter is now talking about those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Jesus has become a stumbling stone. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where then is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through its wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so I want you to think about this illustration that Peter gives us of a stone mason who is by accident forgotten and has misplaced this most important stone. This is the most costly mistake that anyone could make. And so these were experts, these stone masons, and this was a mistake that was not supposed to be made. And so as we apply it to the pagans and to the Jews, the pagans in all of their learning and all of their wisdom combined were not able to discern the meaning of life. They were not able to understand the author of life, this chosen cornerstone. And the Jews, right, they were experts. They were masters of the scriptures and of religion. They were not, in all of their learning, able to discern Jesus Christ. And in rejecting him, everything that they have done will in turn be ruined. And also, I'd like you to consider that the problem with the church is a foundation problem. Consider this with me. For instance, you drive around town, and maybe you see a building that is starting to fall down. You see some walls that are crooked, or maybe you see a roof line that just has a little dip to it. There are two options. You could try to repair the roof. You could try and attempt to prepare those walls, but what's the real problem? What's the heart of the issue? The issue is that there is a foundation problem. And so many times in the church, sometimes we're treating symptoms. Sometimes we're trying to repair those crooked walls. We're trying to prepare that roof line, but this teaching this morning is that we need to focus on Jesus Christ. We need to focus on the foundation. We need to follow him and replicate his way of life, his behavior. We need to obey him. It is when the church is totally sold out to Jesus, totally committed, this is when the church is strong and it is structurally has integrity. I want you to also imagine with me that you were a stonemason in the first century. So imagine you were working on a great and noble structure, a part of many builders were collaborating together to build this magnificent building. And let's say that as you were working one day, you notice that you find the stone and it looks interesting, and you realize that this was supposed to be the cornerstone, and it's been discarded, it's been set apart. And as you think about this, you realize that the wrong cornerstone has been used. It's early in the project. At this point, what would you do? You would not hesitate to quickly call for a cease of the construction. You would approach the workers. You would convince as many people as possible of what you had found. You'd found the cornerstone. You know that the building, everything is going to be ruined. This whole project is going to be a waste, is going to it's not going to be strong. It's going to lead to great humiliation and shame when the building does not turn out right. And so you're going to tell as many people as possible, and you're going to tell the chief builder and try to convince him, even if he's unwilling to listen to you. I want to submit to you that this is the world that we live in. There are many, a great majority, mankind has rejected Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, and in doing so, everything that they do, everything that they build in their life is going to be all for naught, is going to be ruined. And we, as the Church of Christ, we as the chosen people, we have discovered the meaning of life. We have discovered Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, and we are to rejoice in this, but it is our, it is required upon us. If we have integrity, if we love souls, if we love this neighborhood, if we love those family members who are not walking in the truth, it is required upon us to tell them that they have missed the cornerstone, and everything that they do in their life, if it is not built upon Jesus Christ, is going to be destroyed in that day. And so I want to challenge each one of us. I want to encourage you to take this lesson home with you this afternoon and to think upon these things, to rejoice in the privilege that we have because we have found Jesus Christ, the foundation stone. I want to encourage you to re-examine and to build upon this cornerstone, to pattern your life after the perfect man. And I also want to encourage you to appeal to those who are building on other foundations that building is going to come to nothing. It is going to be destroyed in those days. And so this is God's will for us as we conclude with these words in verse 9 of chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so this is God's will for us, the Main Street Church of Christ, that we might proclaim to those who sit in darkness, those who have not received mercy, to tell them about the mercy that we've received, to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus, this perfect man, this foundation, this meaning of life. And so I would encourage you to consider God's call and to ask for opportunities to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus this week. Perhaps there are some this morning who have rejected Jesus Christ, the perfect man, the cornerstone, and they're building on other foundations. The Bible is clear that we are to turn away from serving the world and serving pleasures and evil desires that wage war against our soul, and we are to submit to the Word of God. We are to obey this prophet of prophets. The Bible commands that we are to be baptized. We are to be immersed in water for the remission of our sins in order that we might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, rise in newness of life. If you have not done this, I would appeal to you to come forward this morning. Do not delay. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. If there are any other prayers that you have, I would also like to invite you to come forward and allow us to pray for you as we stand and sing our invitation song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Yeah.
Beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational acapella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of acapella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally. Go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.